Okay.
Okay, hey everybody, it's Eddie. I am back with you today. Joe, you with me?
Yes, sir, right here.
What's up?
Just living the life here in hot, muggy South Florida. Just 90 degrees and 100% humidity.
Oh my God, don't tell me that.
Happy
Don't tell me that. I'll never go there. Well,
That's right.
I was in beautiful Arizona all last week, and weather was pretty nice there, but it actually was hot when I got there, but it did finally cool off a little bit. And then I went to the ranch for a couple of days, and I sat out this morning. It was about, well, my thermometer said it is almost 32 degrees at daylight.
Wow.
So, back in the saddle, gonna get up and drive to Mississippi in the morning. And gonna be there for a day, and then I'm going to Louisiana.
Louisiana, what are you going to do in Louisiana?
Well, my son Hudson, my former high school football boy, has been saying really since he was a kid, but he is taking it a whole lot more seriously now. He's going to be a steer wrestler.
Oh, that's right. I heard about that. Okay.
So he is going to a steer wrestling school in Louisiana. This guy's like a pretty renowned guy. And ironically, this guy was my brother's best friend when they were both college rodeoing at Mississippi State.
Mississippi State and good old Starkville.
Yeah. My brother was a
Yeah.
national champion college calf roper.
So you think they may get you up on a horse, Eddie?
I ride occasionally now. I it's not impossible I'll get on a horse for something over the deal, but this is for Hudson. This isn't my deal.
Absolutely. Well, that's
So
cool.
anyway, so probably too much information for some of you guys, but
Well, he's been talking about this for 3 or 4 years, hasn't he?
yeah, he didn't just come up with it, but anyway, it's just kind of come to fruition.
Very cool.
All right. Let's see, buddy.
Yes,
Susan, how
sir.
are you guys?
We're doing great.
All right, who wants to go first?
All right. Well, I'm going to put a little Southern on his name, but it's Garnet Sailor has a question he submitted, and he is not going to be on the call this evening. There we go. Are you seeing it okay?
Yeah, Garnet's asking about an RMLO.
He is. And he was looking specifically in the Dodd-Frank Act, trying to understand it better, and was having a hard time coming up with that information.
Wouldn't give myself brain damage over that one.
That's for sure.
So there are various vendors that have RMLO services. Garnet is in happens to be in Phoenix. And I don't know this person's name, but I know that Bob Zachmeyer has an RMLO out in Tucson, I believe, that he uses. National Asset Advisors, NAA, has RMLO services. And then also there was a vendor at Note Expo, Farah Isaac. And I guess you're going to ask me Farah's company name, aren't you? They were actually an exhibitor. If you just look at Note Expo, they were exhibitor at Note Expo.
I think it's, wasn't it NL Services or something like that? NLM?
I'll see if I can find it.
Yeah, do that for me, Joe, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Sorry, I just can't. Yes. National Lending Unlimited.
National Lending
National
Limited,
Lending
Unlimited.
Unlimited.
Okay.
Their website too. They were a vendor at Node Expo. National Asset Advisors does most of ours. And I know that Bob Zachmeier is doing some with an RMLO out there. There are some people that offer RMLO services, to be honest with you, that I don't think they're compliant. I did not mention them. So there's some people elsewise that do it. I just, the word I get is they're not, they don't really make you compliant. So when you need an RMLO is when you close more than three transactions a year in the same entity in a year. And, you know, I know there's some people that think they're going to shortcut Joe because they own all these houses in a land trust. So they just put each house in its own land trust, and that way they don't do three per entity. You know what I'm saying?
And yeah.
I think they're wet on that one. The compliance people I've talked to, nobody believes that makes you good.
Well, you know what, Eddie, and if it ever, I don't care if you've just done one and you're a real estate investor and it ever went sideways and it went to court, you know, you just have to do it every time. The judge is going to look at you and go, you're a real estate investor. You may not have made many loans or any loans, but you still should have known better than this.
Yeah, I think the line's fairly clear at three or more or four, you know, four or more, three or less. I think that's right.
Yeah.
So I don't want to say that, you know, I just think that's what it is. As far as a student honestly trying to go interpret Dodd-Frank themselves, it's only 79,000 pages. And I know people that have studied it for months. So we really rely on like compliance experts, and that's where we get our information. And I'm not saying I'm offering any legal advice whatsoever, but I can give you some practical advice. I wouldn't try to go figure it out myself.
Eddie, that Ferris company is National Lending Unlimited, and you're exactly right on that. And it is, he's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
And you can go right to his, to the website, National Lending Unlimited. And it's got all of their contact information on there, their website, their toll-free number, and so on. So
once again, I'll get the name of this person that Bob Zachmeier's got. He's got somebody in Tucson that he feels like does a good job. National Asset Advisors has done most all of ours over the last several years. So there you go.
All right.
Okay. It's kind of a performing note question, but I don't mind covering it if we can do it real quickly. But that's kind
okay. Of
more for a Monday issue.
All right. You want to move on to the next one?
Please.
Okay. You have Richard Cullen. He has a foreclosure property where he has title in Alabama, and he wants some suggestions for some possible exit strategies. He's received two bids for the rehab on the rental side as far as the rental standards. He currently has $12,500 invested in the property. He thinks the value is between $30,000 and $40,000, and Richard is on, and I'm going to see if I can get him on the line. Can you hear us, Richard?
I'm here.
Okay.
Hi, Richard.
How are you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
Good.
So, this is an asset that you foreclosed on, is that correct?
Correct.
So, Richard, what you need to do is you need to go sell this property as is. Right? What's that?
I couldn't do five for that.
Buddy, help me out here a little bit. I'm sorry.
Richard, your volume's a little bit low. Can you try one more time, please?
So I couldn't sell for $5,000.
You saying you couldn't sell it for $5,000?
Okay. All right. So Richard, how did you try to sell it?
Well, of course I got that. I was let me get my voice here. The person died in the house, and his daughter was hit by it, and was talking to a realtor. There was another house in the area, and we couldn't sell it for $3,000. Better house than this one.
Okay. So you tried to go through a realtor?
Okay. Because this house is bad news.
Yeah. Hey, Susan.
Yeah, I'm here.
You might as well commit political suicide with me, okay?
I know where this is going.
Sure, Eddie, anything for you.
Well, you might as well throw all your fellow REO agents under the bus.
Okay, so here's the thing about REO agents. We're paid very little money to do what we do, and it's all about volume. So, you know,
it's really about reporting. Am I right, Susan?
Reporting?
Like when you have a bunch of listings for Fannie or Freddie or whatever, that you become very good at reporting to them exactly what's going on in the process and stuff.
Right. We do lots of BPOs. In fact, I'm sitting here working on a BPO right now for a property that is not mine. But really our job is to get it out the door in 30 days. So when you're trying to get it out the door, you're going to price it on the low end usually of the scale. You know, most REO realtors are not about looking at options or problem solving because we're not paid for that. We're correct. Paid to just move it fast and get it sold. So it's going to be a down and dirty price to move it off, you know, move it off the books, basically.
Okay. So, Richard, I can just tell you this. I mean, we have 50 REOs on any given day, okay? If I wake up and find out that one of my employees takes a house that needs a ton of repair like this and list it with a realtor, I'm going to fire them. Seriously. Listing this with a realtor is a suicide mission.
I realize that.
Okay. So, I didn't Google this ahead of time, but Anniston, Alabama is either a suburb of Mobile or a suburb of Birmingham, and I don't remember which.
It's about an hour east of Birmingham.
Hour east of Birmingham, okay. Well, they got a little junior college over there, don't they? Isn't that right near where that little junior college is in Huntsville?
Huntsville's north, but there is a junior college, and it may be in Eufaula.
No, I'm talking about that little one with the big A on it. That junior college.
Oh, okay.
Huh?
They have a bus that's an eagle.
Hey, I heard they're going for a full 4-year school.
Wow.
Ooh. Richard, let me just tell you, in my shop, if we have an asset like this, and trust me, we've had them, okay, I'm gonna go basically, the first thing I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go try to find every fix and flip investor in that town, okay? The easiest way to find them is to find them on the internet. So they pay people to place marketing for them called SEO marketing, search engine optimization, okay? In fact, I'm in the mastermind, as you know, with about 120 real estate investors, and every one of them have a big play on SEO marketing. Now, that's not the only way they market, but in 2017, if you're like closing 6 or 8 or 10 deals a year or 100 deals a year, you're going to be on the, you're going to be doing a search engine optimization. Now, when you reach these guys and you want more than one, the real risk is letting them tie up a property and not close. Okay? So they need to go out and determine what they're going to buy and they're going to pay, and they need to come with some real skin in the game to tie it up. Okay? Because that's the risk you have if some rehabber goes out and throws it under contract and then decides he's going to go do all his due diligence. Okay? So I don't let anybody in my shop handle it that way. I understand I'm dealing with a professional buyer who's used to having things his way. Okay, well, guess what? When he buys a property from me, this ain't Burger King. Okay, you can't have it your way. And I probably don't want the biggest guy in town. I probably want down the tier a little bit, but I find that I'm very successful getting this done. And, you know, you can try RIAs, you can try other things, but I'm telling you right now, in my shop, that's how we sell these assets. Calling a realtor virtually is a, with an asset that needs this much in repair, almost without exception, is a complete waste of time. Now, that's just how we do it, Richard. We've tried it. We've run this experiment about every way in the world. Okay? I've got an office full of people that have dealt with REO agents and REO departments and all that stuff. We completely understand how that works. But I'm telling you, when we're selling a house that needs a lot of repair, getting right down to the list of local buyers and not letting them, you know, tied up without knowing they're really going to perform, that's been the best success by far we've had.
Okay. And take a loss on it?
I don't know if you take a loss on it or not, but I know one thing. If you worked for me, Richard, and you called a realtor to sell this house for you, you'd have to go work for somebody else next week. That's how strongly I feel about it.
Okay.
And they just can't sell it and make and get the money out of it.
Of course.
Listen, I'm in a mastermind with 120 real estate investors. I'm very friendly with Kent Clothier and Sean Terry. They have another mastermind with another 60 or 70 real estate investors. Okay, I was with them last week in Phoenix. Okay. No, nobody in their mastermind or nobody in the mastermind that I'm in has any active activity with REO agents.
Okay.
I mean, excuse me.
Well,
REO agents don't have an active relationship with fix and flip investors, right? I mean, they used to, but it's just the cycle is different. And Susan just tells the cold, hard truth about it. You know, her and Kathy have a very active REO agency in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And if you sell a house for $4,000, what's the commission on that, Susan?
If I'm lucky, I might make $1,000.
In other words, you just have a minimum commission, and usually you're taking more like $500.
Yeah.
So, Rich, you got no way an agent's going to spend any time on this. First of all, if the only reason that they would take the listing is because Bank America or some big client that they have another 100 assets with kind of forces one down their throat. If you call them and said, list my one house, you wouldn't even take the listing, would you, Susan?
Probably, but you know, it's all about the numbers.
You need the volume.
Yeah. Because you hope to get a buyer or something like that. But I would have him reach out to rehabbers and builders, because if it's close to a teardown, a builder might want to come in and build on that lot, build a new home.
Well, a friend of mine lives in Birmingham. There's a pretty large RIA in Birmingham that he's had good luck with. But you're saying no go on that, Eddie, or?
I don't.
You don't think so?
Yeah, there's a couple of Rias there, but, you know.
I know the biggest operators in Birmingham, okay? I know them well. They're both of the biggest operators in Birmingham are in CG with me. Okay? That is the RIA is not where I would go find those guys. And I mean, we're not being unfriendly about the RIA, okay? Joe and I have spoke at that RIA. So we're not throwing darts here. We're just telling you, if you're looking for guys that are like proven commodities and stuff. Now, it's okay to go Google and find somebody that has a meetup or a local RIA. I'm just telling you, you need to safety up a little bit and not depend on that as a lone source. The problem with a RIA, to be honest with you, is it's hard to get your information disseminated amongst members in the RIA, and the risk you have is somebody that, like, struggling for inventory ties it up because they don't close any deals, and then they won't close.
So they want to try to do it as a wholesale deal, and they tie it up and don't really have any place to go with it.
Correct. That's kind of why you see me like, well, I don't know if I'd do that. Now, but I'm telling you, internally in our shop, what I just described to you is exactly what we do with a house that needs a ton of repairs. We did a really good training on this. Susan, you remember when that was? You and I kind of did a freaking frack on this on a webinar, didn't we?
Yeah, it was back in
July.
I want to say August.
No, it was earlier than that. I tell you when it was. It was when I was visiting Oakdale.
What month was that, Eddie?
Was that in California when you took Hudson?
It is.
Just ask Hudson when you were in California.
No, I'm almost sure it was in June. But we did it. You and I did. I remember you and I had like a long session on this. Anyway, Rich, if that's helpful to you, maybe somebody could find that archive of that call and send it out to you.
Okay.
Yeah. But I understand your frustration, but you're trying to wrestle a grizzly bear doing it the way you're doing it. Okay? All right, cool.
Thanks,
Richard.
Okay, it may be the June 20th. I went through the archives there. I was trying to find it before he got off. So I'll check, and Richard, if I locate it, I'll send it to you.
You know what? I bet you I could do it here fairly quickly. Go by month. Because I remember doing it.
Do you remember, was it, I've got, can you see the screen now, Eddie? I think I unpaused it.
Let's see. Evaluate highest and best use strategy for NPLs in different markets. Does that sound like it?
Sounds like it might be appropriate, but I'll take a look at it and see. We can see some of the, Eddie talked to Susan about being an REO agent.
I'll tell you when it was. It's right before I went to, it was July 11th.
July 11th.
Susan, you know why I can remember that?
No, I don't.
Because I was doing that call from Travis Cadwell's house.
Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
And so I just went back and looked and saw where I was on that day, and that's how I remember it. Now, there's some other sessions. I know we've done this several times, but I know that's a pretty good session where we really kind of beat it up, and it just really might be helpful for Richard to listen to it.
Okay.
An archive. Okay. All right, so Joe.
Yes.
So I want to talk to you a little bit, and I want to, we might go a little bit open line here with it, okay?
Okay.
But I wanted to talk to you a little bit about this whole idea of converting your foreclosed house to and kind of like where your line is and what you're going to do with it.
Okay.
All right. So, I want to take your hometown, Okeechobee, for a minute.
Okay.
All right. So, your minimum price house there is still pretty high, right?
It's in the middle range right now is somewhere between 110 and 150.
All right.
And then there's as low as stuff in the 70s and 80s.
Okay. But you're right on the edge of where conventional lending is solving most of the problems.
Yeah, pretty much. But, you know, Eddie, what we have here a lot as well is you've got mobile homes on land, and, you know, that stuff is falling in the $30,000 to $60,000 range, and you know as well as I do that there's nobody in the world out there that'll do that. It's a seller financing at this point, cash or seller financing.
Yeah. Any difference between cash price and seller finance price?
Well, you know there always is. As far as you know, you can have a realtor look at it and he'll say, "Oh, that's worth $30,000," but you know, a guy can rent it because it's on the Rim Canal and it'll get you out into the lake, and you can rent it for $1,000 a month.
Joe, say that again.
Well, a realtor would tell you that it's worth about $30,000-$35,000, but since it's on the Rim Canal and can get you into the Lake Okeechobee, it's rents for anywhere from $900 to $1,100 a month. We've heard that before, haven't we?
So that's a classic example. If you sell it for cash, you're completely giving it away.
Yep.
Okay. Who would buy that house, Joe?
You've got, we're talking about the lower end stuff, the mobile home on land deal.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is stuff that it's not horrible, Eddie. I mean, it's, you know, for that kind of property, it's quite nice. They've built a screened-in porch on it, and they've got a nice Ted shed on the thing and got a decent little seawall and things like that. And the people that are buying that is some of these folks that are coming down from up north that winter here. You know, we get a lot of people from the Midwest. We get a lot of folks from Ohio and Indiana and Illinois. And, of course, the folks from New Jersey and New York go to Palm Beach and, you know, Vero Beach and places like that. But we get a lot of that. And, you know, they're a buyer, but they're really only they want to buy a turnkey. They don't want to buy something they've got to come down here and spend half the winter fixing up. So it's just a guy that's buying it to rent.
And they've got usually a significant down payment.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I was just in Arizona last week, Joe.
Yep.
Okay. And I don't know how I forget about this, but I'm in Phoenix. Phoenix is hot, okay? Yeah. I mean, the real estate market is hot in Phoenix. It's not Seattle hot or Portland hot, but it's really hot. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking nobody would own or finance anything in Arizona.
Right.
So I went to a meeting over basically east of Phoenix in Gilbert, or even slightly east of Gilbert a little bit.
Right.
So they have these retirement communities.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm telling you, yes, they're mobile homes, but they're nice, and they're very nice. So we go way down the trail of, you know, the owner finance model with these guys we're meeting with, just because they were asking us about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just made me forget the difference between calling a realtor and then bringing a cash buyer and the other options you could do. So, Joe, if you were going to sell a house in Okeechobee, how would you advertise it?
Well, I would certainly advertise it myself with seller financing.
Wouldn't list it with a realtor?
No, absolutely not.
Hell, you ought to buy them from a realtor and sell them yourself.
Well, and you know what? We both know that, and that's a great model. If you can buy them for, well, it's like, you know, remember that old saying that if I could buy him for what he thinks he's worth and sell him for what he's really worth. Yeah, or the opposite. It was actually the opposite of that. But yeah, absolutely. And you know, you've got the, you know, folks that, you know, of course, retirement areas here, and they can get, I mean, I was talking to a guy the other day. He paid, it was $120,000 for a manufactured home on a lot in an over 55 park with leased land. And his biggest problem was finding somebody that would insure it.
Because it was just chattel only?
Yeah, it was just chattel only, and it was so expensive. I mean, how do you, but you know, this thing was a triple wide deal, a couple thousand square feet. And I looked at one 2 weeks ago, and again, right on the Rim Canal. And you've got to seller finance those to sell them, and you can seller finance them for top dollar. And usually, the retirees that are buying them can certainly put 20%, 30%, 40% down on them, and do super well with them. But most people don't want to look at that type of stuff.
Yeah. And the reason I'm bringing that up, because I knew you had a lot of areas, not as big as Phoenix, or as populated as Phoenix, but you have the same kind of issue. By the way, depending on where you're at in the Sun Belt as to where the people from up north come.
That's exactly right.
Right? Like, if you go to South Texas, they're from, like, Iowa or Indiana or Chicago or something like that. Okay.
Yeah, you know, Eddie down in Rio Grande Valley, McAllen. I mean, there's a huge Canadian presence down there as well, right on the border.
And a lot of Canadians in Phoenix and Tucson. Lots of Canadians. Right.
And Las Vegas as well.
So the reality is, You have to kind of reverse engineer, you know, understanding what I was really saying to Richard earlier, which is gets back to this, what is highest and best use, right? And I know it sounds crazy. You're like, well, I called a realtor, and you're describing a market that we all know well. Its rentable value is $1,000 a month. The realtor says it'll sell for $30,000.
Right.
Right?
Yep.
And that's really, you know, a pretty definable market in a lot of situations. And I'm really getting back to just being very careful not to go give up, you know, some of your opportunity situations with a piece of property because, well, I talked to a realtor. Okay.
And you know, Eddie, I mean, that is really, there is no affordable housing for most people. So then that becomes a huge part of it. I mean, yeah.
All right. So with kind of taking the little lightning bolt here for a minute, I thought we would have a little fun and just right before Thanksgiving, we'll do a little bit of open line with this. So I thought I'd kind of start the fire with talking about some of these things. Let's see. We got any comments here?
Let's see. Richard asked a question concerning partials and Dodd-Frank requirement. Is there anything that applies there?
I'm not going to go down the road today with, performing note topic, but selling a partial has nothing to do with Dodd-Frank.
All right. I think Williams has the only other unanswered question there.
Yeah, and in mobile home, how long would you make a note for? I hear that mobile homes deteriorate quickly. Is that an issue? Eddie, you and I've done this, been in this for a long time, and as long as they're fairly well taken care of, it's nothing to see a 30 or 40 year old mobile home that's been pretty well taken care of.
Yeah, so there are quality amounts related to a mobile home, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so the first thing you can do is when you find out what the mobile home is, you can go do some research and find out what that mobile home originally, what class range it's in based on what it's selling for, right?
That's right.
In 1990 was the biggest single year in the manufactured housing industry, as far as I know of, ever.
Right.
Okay. The quality standard of the industry switched over in 1990. And Joe, I know that it may not be called this nationwide, but I know certainly in a lot of the country it's called the Southern Building Code.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And that had to meet certain hurricane standards as it went through. Yeah.
Yeah. So in 1990 is when the industry did it. Probably the smartest mobile home guy I know is a guy named Glenn Stromberg. And Glenn lives here in Dallas-Fort Worth. Glenn actually is a note school guy, but he's done a lot of stuff with Dr. David Phelps. Mm-hmm. And is one of his trusted advisors. And I mean, that guy's dang smart when it comes to mobile homes. And that's his litmus test. He won't buy anything that he thinks is going to need repair or something that wasn't dated prior to 1990. So the reality is, Glenn brings up a good point about mobile homes. He says, people complain about mobile homes and the quality of the construction, and it's less than that. And trust me, Martha's owned about 200 mobile home and land deals, so I get it. I got it, right? But the point Glenn brings up is it's so much more efficient to repair.
Yeah, much more.
People have a foundation issue on a site-built house, it can be $25,000. Re-level a mobile home is about $3,500.
That's exactly right, and it is not a big issue to put just a regular metal roof, just a pitch metal roof right over the top, and we see that a lot.
Yeah. The other thing is people say, the doors and the what? Yeah, I know, but it doesn't cost near as much to repair them either. So, the one thing I would say about mobiles is, understand the quality of the house that was built, and then secondly, the age of the house, and then thirdly, it's like, they if it's a decent built house, Martha's got two that she's rehabbing right now to sell. Now, Joni, you know what she's going to do? She bought all those mobile home and land. She kept about four of them that she used as rentals. You know, the Speed family, Joe, we just like to keep a few rentals so we can really remember what a pain in the ass.
Absolutely.
We just like to keep it fresh on our mind. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
No, Martha kept some rentals. Apparently, it helps with some tax stuff and whatever.
Right.
So now, all of a sudden, those rentals are bringing, insane money.
Right.
So Martha hired a guy that's redoing these rentals, and he's a mobile home repair specialist. And they've got 2 acres of land and a mobile, and they're 25-year-old mobiles probably, or 20-year-old mobiles, and they're going to bring $125,000.
And you know that you're exactly right. And they're sitting on a plot. There's nothing under them. There's no wheels. There's no tongues. It's taxed as real estate, and it's affordable housing again.
Yeah. So, once again, I think this is, one of the things, Joe, that I want to see us progress with in, 2018 is, I don't want to be too generic. Like, I like having, some good information. Richard, we put his deal on here today, and really fairly limited in what we really knew about it.
Right.
And so Richard's a good guy. He's my friend up in Minnesota, and so I just kind of he's been with us a long time, so I just gave him a little bit of a reprieve on it. Do you know that Richard came to a class in Phoenix? This has been 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm.
And long story short, we have another mentor student that lives in Phoenix, and they figured out that they used to work together. Actually, this student used to work for Richard. How about that? How small a world is that?
I'm telling you.
Jason Whaley is the guy's name.
Although, really?
Yep, that's absolutely true. Yeah. I want to make sure that if anybody's in the process of foreclosing and you're selling a property and stuff, I want to really help you up your game of how you might go about selling it. Listen, if you've been in the business long enough, you may just buy an asset and all of a sudden figure out it's trashed inside. I've had it happen to me. So, it is part of the
business. You're swinging the bat hard enough, Eddie. It's gonna happen to everybody.
Sure it is. If you do enough transactions, that's going to happen. But right now, our industry is really struggling with inventory issues.
Yeah.
And so it's very important that we understand that we got some alternative strategies other than, as I said, Joe, if Martha and I are going to buy a house, okay, we call a realtor. If we're going to sell our home, we call a realtor. Now, we may not one day, because it's getting more and more where like agents are, the idea is becoming more and more obsolete.
Yes, it is.
But the reality is every personal home Martha and I have bought and sold have been through a realtor.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Me too.
So I'm not poo-pooing everything a realtor does. I'm just saying it's not highest and best use to go sell a house to them that,
It depends on the house, right? If it's your house and it's a nice house, then they're going to get the highest. They're going to put the most work into it, and they know how to market it, and they know how to. That's their bailiwick, right? That's what they do. But on these houses that are not, then they just really don't want to fool with it,
because it becomes a think tank project for them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So you know what I used to call those realtors, the realtors like we're talking about, I used to call them the town car realtors, and now I call them the Escalade realtors.
Escalade realtors.
About, right?
I don't know
on.
What that is.
Don't act
come
like
on,
you.
Susan, that's you. Know what he's talking about.
I don't know what he's talking about.
All right, so I drive a Suburban, okay? And so Martha and Susan and whoever, they're sitting around one day, next time I'm on trade cars, and they said, Eddie, you need to get an Escalade. You need an Escalade. I'm like, there is no way in hell I'm going to get an Escalade.
With some 22s on it, man.
They're like, why, Eddie, they're great.
Yeah.
And I said, you think I'm going to look like a realtor from South Lake?
There you go.
Must be a Southern thing.
No, he's going to have the perfect suit and the perfect hair, and she's going to have the perfect suit and the perfect hair. And they deal in pre-qualified buyers that are ready to go.
Susan, y'all need to go back to those magnetic signs you used to slap on the side of the car.
I never, Never ever had one of those, but I know what you're talking about. They're like the Barbie realtors.
There you go. Well, there you go. That's Barbie and Ken realtors. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Escalade realtor.
I like it.
Me too.
All right. Well,
and so Eddie, so I was in Seattle a few weeks ago, and there was a little house there, a little shotgun house. It was 20 by 40, boarded up, nothing inside of it. Went on the market on a Wednesday morning for $600,000. Sold that afternoon for $632,000. It was on a 6,000 square foot lot.
Wow.
And somebody was happy to get it.
All right. So they're trying to get, this is already done in Portland, okay? They're trying to get it done in Seattle, and a city council lady proposed it in Phoenix. Now listen to this, Joe. You know what it is? If you're a landlord, and they can't make their rent, you have to give them compensation so they can go rent somewhere else.
Oh, my God.
What?
Apparently, this is already a law in Portland.
I get that in Portland.
Well, there's a part of Illinois where they have a judge over there that won't evict them until they've been able to secure a new place to move to. I have to help them, but you got to wait until they find something with their crappy credit.
Well, God love Portland.
Yep. And I could see that happening in Seattle as well.
Oh, apparently it's in motion in Seattle. And so now some late, this was what I learned at Azrea last week. It's how I know this, right? So Alan Langston, the guy that owns Azrea, is talking to his audience, and he says, and you can be proud to know so-and-so, whatever the lady's name is, and city councilwoman for Phoenix, she's proposed it in Phoenix, but everybody else is laughing at her. You know, the problem is, Joe, they don't see a flaw in this.
Yeah, I know.
They don't, this doesn't sound ridiculous to them.
So you want to make it even more difficult for somebody to rent a house, right?
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Well, all right. Again, it's you know, we can do, it's like I tell people about these buying non-performing assets when you can modify them. I mean, you know, we're able to fix one at a time, one family at a time, one house at a time, what the banks and maybe the feds wouldn't do, right?
Well, I mean, that's the goal, you know, and it doesn't always guarantee. I'm not saying that every time you buy an NPL that you can.
No, absolutely not.
But I'm saying that, you know, if it's occupied, you know, the odds are pretty decent.
Yes, they are.
And once again, you know, I go back to the concept, which on non-performing loans is really you're just poking your way through it, right? That's what makes it entrepreneurial. It's not an absolute guarantee up front. You all know how it's going to go, right? But if you'll do your homework, and this content team will push on you pretty hard to do your homework so that we really have a full slate of information when we're looking at an asset, then we'll put these assets on there and basically just kind of talk about highest and best use and some of the techniques that we use to get rid of our stuff. All right. Where are you going for Thanksgiving, Joe?
We are staying home. We were in Orlando last year, and we went out and it's what my wife wanted to do, and my kids, and even me, we complained the whole time because the food that we got out just wasn't what we were used to eating on Thanksgiving, you know, with the corn casseroles and the sweet potato casseroles and all of that. So we're home. We're going to be home, and we're going to be fixing dinner, and we're going to have a little fire going in the backyard because it is going to get down into the 50s.
Oh my God!
It's going to be a.
You're going to start this little family thing about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we're staying home and just going to enjoy some of that, and we may even, Eddie, just ride through the Walmart parking lot on what that would be Thursday night to look at all the crazy people out there doing Black Friday. Let me tell you something. You have never lived until you've driven through or even walked in. I mean, oh my God, last year there was 9 police cars in the parking lot. We walked in and there were, I mean, from the front of the store to the back of the store, people lined up just throwing down, man. Buggies. Right.
So this is probably about like Okeechobee, okay? I'm just saying the audience is probably about like Okeechobee. All right. Yeah. It's McGee, Mississippi.
Okay.
So it's about halfway between Jackson and Hattiesburg. Very rural. It's one of those things when you walk through Walmart, you're like, you're remembering that most of these people have a driver's license. I mean, when they leave Walmart, they're driving around.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So we'll go through our little annual tour going through McGee to the Walmart. We usually, for some reason, we have to stop.
I got to tell you, so.
Yeah.
I was coming out. I had to run into Walmart for something. It was about a week ago, and it was late. It was at night, and there was a guy came out, and he had a stick, you know, like, you know, he couldn't see well, right? He gets in this big old Buick. He puts on a crash helmet, and he takes off.
Oh, well, you might better slide yours on then, Joe.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Look, we're having a little holiday fun with you guys. Really appreciate you attending. I've been out for week or so, been out scouting. I've got some big opportunities that I'm pretty excited I'm working on. And so we will see you guys. Have a happy and safe Thanksgiving, and we will see you guys next week. Joe, thanks.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Have a Thanksgiving.
All right. Good night. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Bye-bye.